Barkley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The rebuilding process is already well underway in Iran.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody's looking for an exit strategy right now, though. I don't know what's going on. All I know is somebody has had it with Arabic music.
That was a good transition, man.
Had it.
MVR, weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
The next item was a request from Councilman Cusack to discuss the city's social media. Councilman.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to hear me. Can you hear me now? I guess you can. Okay.
Noted technology expert Mike Cusack is going to look. It's not fair. The mics are terrible. They've done their best to really get the mics working properly, but you know, he actually, as a city councilman, it is kind of funny. Historically, he could never figure out how to put his mouth next to the mic enough to be loud enough. He was always at the regular seat. This is for the work session. This is down on the regular common people area around a table, and those mics are apparently not much better, but, you know, they were having trouble with them. But, okay, so Mike Cusack has wanted to have a discussion about the social media policy. And if you know anything, and I know you may not, about the city of Milton social media, the Facebook page is, how do I want to say it? Amazing. Their Facebook page is fantastic. It's run by Bethany Anderson. She's the PIO, the public information officer, and she has been killing it on social media. Like, fantastic. So naturally, Mike Cusack doesn't like it. So he's brought to the table some concerns.
I'm trying to get a handle on... I'm not a big social media guy, but I've got bombarded by numerous people about the content of our social media on Facebook with the city logo.
Bombarded by how many? Hundreds, thousands? Well, it turns out seven. But okay, that's his ability to speak in a way that hides the truth is fantastic. I also love the admission right from the start.
I'm not a big social media guy. But
here I am. I'm going to weigh in on social media, even though I acknowledge I'm not a big social media guy.
I got a question. Ed, do you approve all of these posts before they go on social media?
No, sir, I do not.
Well, who approves those then? Who makes that decision to post those?
If it rises to a post that the PIO feels she wants my input on, she would come to me at that point in time.
So she has free rein then on posting, Jim, correct?
Within the guidelines that we've established for our social media, yes, sir.
And what are those guidelines?
Well, I'll be happy to show you. I've got a presentation here that I can run through.
You know, first of all, Mike, any of these questions could have been answered outside the city council context. You could have called the PIO. You didn't. You could have talked to the city manager. You could have just, I don't know, looked up the policy, right? It's an online policy is actually online. You could have done any of those things, but instead you decided to make it a thing in the city council meeting, which is weird. Like, why are you wasting everybody's time with this nonsense? You would have looked less stupid in the process too, which, for my own purposes, I think is entertaining. But okay, so Ed Spears knows that Mike Cusack is going to raise an objection about social media. The reason is because Bethany uses humor and posts weird stuff and gets a lot of, you know, it works. It's social media. It captures, she's got a Jimothy post. She's got a post about the old meme about all of your base are belong to us from the video game, the bad translation from back in the day. Like, it's just, it's funny. And their reach is, tremendous, especially for a city their size. So she's really, and also they have, you know, informational things about, you know, E. coli and about missing kids. And anyway, she's doing a fantastic job. So naturally, Mike Cusack, who is a member of the Pitchfork Posse, he's their guy, so he and Marilyn Farrow and Mayor Lindsay and then some other people in the public, that probably all seven of the people that he says have told him about this are part of that. Anyway, so Ed is going to go through a PowerPoint presentation and try to teach poor Cusack, about who doesn't know anything about social media. By the way, he's not on social media. Like, his I looked. He's got a Facebook page from a campaign from 4 years ago that has not gotten posted on in over 2 years. So is he active? No. And the only people who like any of the posts on there are all, and I know them all, are members of the Pitchfork Posse. It's weirdly insular, okay? And by the way, this is going to crush your spirit, but he just got reelected without opposition. Nobody even ran against him. I'm amazed by it. I can't even fathom it. I'm just saying, you folks in Milton, you did me dirty. You did each other dirty by not running somebody against Mike Cusack. So anyway, Ed Spears is going to explain the social media policy for all and also for Mike.
So the city's strategy for social media is to utilize it as a digital communication tool to extend our reach far beyond our municipal boundaries. We combine public safety, city services, the things we want to get out of our events with history and nostalgia and lighthearted content to foster a broad community engagement.
Yes, they're trying to make people like the page.
In order to maximize that engagement, we have to use the Meta algorithm to our advantage in the competition for eyes. We believed an engaged audience is not simply a metric. It's our ability to communicate far and wide in times of need. And we do all this while mandating that we grow organically. We do not pay to broaden our reach.
Again, yes, the whole idea for a municipality is smuggling. You're trying to trick Facebook into thinking that your page is interesting to people, you know, by being interesting to people. If you get shares and likes and reactions and comments, then Facebook prioritizes you in the algorithm for a variety of people who do not follow your page. And then when, you know, so a lot of people see your content that are not maybe in the city of Milton or are not followers or both, but also followers and people in the city and so forth. And so that's good in general because it's content they want, okay? But that's not the purpose. The purpose isn't the humor. The purpose isn't the interesting, weird stuff. The purpose is that when you got to put out a missing kid notice, Facebook thinks people want to see your stuff. And so it shows people your stuff. And so you find missing kids. Like, that's the game. The game is when you need to be seen for important things, it will think that you should be seen and it will share your content with people. And that's exactly how it has worked. Now, they've got about 1.8 million views in 90 days by about 300,000 viewers, 267, which is more than the number of people in Santa Rosa County. So, again, that's really, really good. More on this in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Highway 29 is accident-free through Cantonment. Highway 90 is clear from Milton into Pace. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. The number of followers, there's things like that. All of your base are belong to us, which, you know, Ed even admits he didn't really understand it, but the millennial people who knew that reference loved it. I was checking with my kids to see who knows or doesn't know this reference. It's one of the original memes. Is a screenshot of the bad translation from this video game. And all of my kids didn't know it at all. And then I ran into slightly older, we were spending some time with family, and one of their daughter is 26, and I asked her, and it was kind of funny because she was there with her boyfriend. They're the same age. And she knew it, and he did not, and she was horrified that he did not know it because it made her feel so old and made her think like he doesn't know things. It was funny how, like, she was horrified that he didn't know it. Anyway, so not everybody's going to get everything. That's fine. They had a Jimothy post, you know, for the crazy weird raccoon, you know, and there was one that, you know, they posted on that got a lot of reaction.
And people from around the country chimed in that we were stealing their new mascot. Yeah. 64,800, of which 68% were non-followers, 34,000 plus views, 942 interactions, 4 of which could be deemed as negative, and it was shared 58 times.
But this is the one that a former councilwoman told me to complain to you about.
We do see the comments. We see the comments, positive and negative.
Heather Lindsay says, yeah, that's the one that somebody complained to me about, a former city councilwoman. I don't know who that is, but I think, well, this is the problem, is you people just don't get humor, social media. You don't understand any of this stuff because that post is funny. It was a City of Milton post that said, we're proud to announce our rebrand. Thank you to the countless designers who expertly brought our vision to life. And it was City of Jimothy with a picture of Jimothy. I like to say Jimothy or Jimothy, but the weird looking raccoon. And it had 58 shares, 154 comments, 722 likes. That's a very successful post for a municipality. And the mayor didn't like it, and somebody who talked to her didn't like it. That's the problem. The Mike Cusacks and the Heather Lindsays and the Marilyn Farrows don't understand and don't see the value of it. But what is the value?
So why is growing the reach important? this post right here is the single most indicative reason of why. We had a 2-year-old child found walking on the side of the road, and the immediate canvas of the neighborhood did not produce their parents. Within 30 minutes of the police department's post and us sharing it, that child was reunited with their family. And it reached 16,060 in just a couple of hours. 95% was our local followers, the people in Milton, in Santa Rosa County, helping to get this child home. That's why our reach is critically important, to be able to produce these results in a time of need.
And you have to be constantly creating content that gets attention in order for the Facebook algorithm to think that it should promote your stuff into people's news feeds. So you have to be constantly working on that reach. This is exactly accurate. Bethany was sick that day, and so she couldn't be there to present for herself to explain all this, but Ed's doing a good job. In the Panhandle, though Milton is only larger than Gulf Breeze, it is, you know, competing way above its weight. Comparable effectiveness with communities that are 100 or 150,000 people, even though it's a 5,000-person city. You know, in the same category of effectiveness as places like Miami and New York, it would cost $50,000 to pay to get the same kind of results on Facebook. So Ed says...
And finally, I would close by saying our social media strategy is one that shows we're human beings. We have a sense of humor, and we care. We're not some nameless, faceless government entity that's out there just churning out meeting notices and flat information.
There was even a story written about Bethany Anderson in the Santa Rosa News Gazette. I forget which one it was. And when City of Milton posted a screenshot of that story, it outperformed the story itself 3-1. Like, they're really doing well. So Ed says, this is our strategy.
So that, Councilman, is a very long-winded way to answer your question. That is our social media strategy.
Let me ask you, this is the question.
By the way, if Mike Cusack were smart, what he would have said at this point is, oh, I didn't understand any of that. Thank you for teaching me. I don't use social media. I'm old. He's going to call himself elderly later in the meeting, so I'm not saying anything he wouldn't say. I appreciate you teaching me what I was ignorant about. Thank you. Is Mike Cusack going to respond that way? Oh, no. No. Here goes.
Long-winded way to answer your question. That is our social media strategy.
Let me ask you, this is the question I have. I'm going to read some data here from experts.
You just got a presentation from an expert. No. You're going to read some data from experts. This is very important to keep in mind.
Not data, but be closer to the mic.
Okay.
I'm going to read some data from experts who know how to use microphones.
A city should not post non-city related topics on its official website or social media channels. Official municipal channels exist strictly to serve the public interest, deliver local government services, and share community-specific information.
So just post your meeting notices and your bland stuff that's going to get you 4 followers.
The risks of posting unrelated content.
Again, from experts.
Loss of trust. Residents expect official channels to be neutral, reliable, and authoritative. Mixing in political or commercial content along with jokes damages credibility. It also creates a problem with the algorithm system. It says it posts that are not specifically related to city services or city information may bury critical safety alerts if public notices if the account frequently posts unrelated, low engagement content.
You literally just disproved your point because it's high engagement content, not low engagement content. But because he doesn't know anything, he gets it wrong. He literally just gave the response to his own bad argument.
Public records. Every post, comment, and interaction on a city account is a public record. Non-essential topics create unnecessary archive and legal maintenance.
No, they do it for you.
What counts as city related? Direct operations, utility updates, road closures, public meetings, council votes, and emergency alerts. What to avoid? National politics, which I don't think we're doing.
It's like a church where they just don't want to have any young people. They don't want to have any fun. They don't want to have any good music. He wants it to be boring because he doesn't know anything about social media. And this is the one to pay attention to. You ready? This is the one that'll amaze you. Just listen.
But the issue is, it says personal opinion. Staff members should never use official accounts to share personal views, jokes, or commentary.
Councilman, you could, can you provide the source of that? You said it's an expert.
Yeah, I can forward it to
Thank
it.
You.
Yeah, it come off the internet.
It sounds like an opinion.
Oh, he came off AI. Okay.
Oh, are you making fun of where I get my information, Mr. Spears?
No, sir.
No.
Then
no,
why
sir.
Are you laughing?
Where did these experts come from? What's your citation? What's your source? Oh, it came off the internet. You know, AI. First of all, I can't believe Mike Cusack managed to figure out how to prompt AI in the first place. Probably not. Probably he's on a browser, and it gave him the first answer. You know, what are the best arguments against fun social media policies? And then he gets livid. If you saw the video, if he could have come out of his chair and taken a swing at Ed, he would have. Because he sits up, he reaches forward, he grabs his microphone. Are you making fun of my sources?
Are you making fun of where I get my information, Mr. Spears?
No, sir.
No.
Then
no,
why
sir.
Are you laughing?
Why are you laughing, man? And listen, I'm going to have to pause, okay? We're going to come back to this at 7 o'clock. I just wanted to get to that part because that was not the end of the funny. That was the beginning of the funny. That was like, it goes crazy from here. But that's your act one. That's your beginning of the city of Milton where you have a city councilman, actually two city council members who don't understand social media and a mayor who I have theories about all this, but she's going to be on their side. Again, Pitchfork Posse party, okay? It's not an official party, but it's my designation. And they are, you know, wanting the city of Milton's Facebook page to be boring or at least have a way to attack Bethany Anderson, the PIO, which I have a theory that might be the subtext here that's not related to the Facebook page at all. So we'll come back to this. Top of the hour, 7 o'clock. There's so much more. Oh, my goodness. Like I said, we have only just begun. Are you making fun of my sources? Yes, because they're idiotic. You literally don't know anything about the internet or social media, and yet you come to us with a fake expert viewpoint from AI and use it as a takedown after Ed gave you this comprehensive presentation of why it's a good idea to have the Facebook page we have. Okay, like I said, we'll come back to this. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. No slowdowns on Cervantes and Bayfront Parkway is not showing any delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the
Cervantes.
Fives. Back to you. I said Cervantes.
No, you didn't.
Did I say Cervantes? Well,
yes.
I said Cervantes.
Yes. It's such a hard habit to break. It's so hard to say it incorrectly the way everybody here says it. I know. Trust me. I had to learn that one, too. All right. 626 on News Radio 92.3. Hey, if you need to unlock something, if you have locked your keys in your, I don't know, your car, or you have forgotten them, or you have damaged them, Ace Unlocks. They take care of everything lock-related. Damaged, destroyed, fobs, missing. If you want a second key for the car you bought, ask me how I know. I had them cut me a new key and a fob for my Civic, and it worked great, and it was cheaper than anywhere else. But the problem is people think that it's only if you get locked inside your car. It's all kinds of things that are lock-related. Residential, business, if they do like app-based locks, keypad locks, they can rekey houses, obviously. Maybe if you're a landlord and you have a home that's changed ownership or changed renters, whatever the case may be. Anything that is lock-related, they can take care of you. 24 hours a day, 505-7545, or stop by at Airport Boulevard on the railroad tracks and tell them that Andrew McKay sent you and you get 10% off your order.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Tommy Pump fires it down the middle for Deuce. Caught at the 20, 15, 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Florida State begins the college football season Saturday by hosting New Mexico State in Tallahassee on the Seminole Sports Network, presented by Wolfson Children's Hospital.
FSU versus New Mexico State, Saturday, 4 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Markley Van Camp and Robbins.
MVR.
Weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Ah, now you look human.
Good morning, 6:30 on News Radio 92.3. We've got David is out again today, but we have Steve in the newsroom with a headline for us. Steve?
President Trump says tariffs on imports of cars, trucks, and auto parts from Canada will increase 50% starting on January 1st. This after the trade talks between the two countries broke down. We'll have more information in just a couple of minutes from Fox News right here on News Radio 92.3.
All right, if you've been following the WNBA and Ines Cantor Freedom and all of the drama around trans athletes, I have some stuff on that coming up. He did a very good interview with Laura Trump on Fox News. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. A showdown in South Carolina. Republicans voting in a runoff between Darlene Graham and Congressman Ralph Norman to replace the late Senator Lindsey Graham elsewhere.
Another high-stakes U.S. Senate race, which is attracting enormous amounts of outside spending, is in Maine, where incumbent Republican Senator Susan Collins seeks a sixth term, and she will face Democratic challenger Troy Jackson.
It's Fox's Alex Hogan. The Trump administration announcing specifics of so-called economic D-Day against Iran.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent launched Operation Economic Outcast, warning of strong sanctions against nations doing business with Iran.
It is now a time for world leaders to make a decision between prosperity and isolation.
Bessent says a process of level setting is underway to let countries know what is expected of them.
Fox's Jared Halpern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 right now, 79 degrees and partly cloudy. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. New numbers from Visit Florida show that fewer Canadian tourists made their way to the Sunshine State this spring quarter. About 721,000 Canadians visited Florida during the second quarter, down more than 4% from last year. That's also well below the 958,000 Canadian visitors counted in the first quarter. Nicole Stacy with Visit Pensacola told Channel 3 the Panhandle snowbird season stayed steady, even if the numbers dipped elsewhere.
In our snowbird season, which is typically anywhere from November to March, we were still seeing consistent Canadian numbers. I won't say that they were driving upwards, but there was definitely some consistency in the visitors we were seeing.
Stacy points to inflation and rising airfare as likely factors. Not all doctors agree on Florida's plan to drop four school vaccine mandates. Family doctor Joel Rudman told Channel 3 the debate is not simple.
I think you can find disagreement among physicians. I think you can find disagreements among, you know, health interest groups. Like, for example, hepatitis B. I get a lot of patients that come in, you know, new parents, and they say, look, we've just had a baby. How is a baby going to contract hepatitis B?
The rule targets hepatitis B, also chickenpox, HIV, and pneumococcal vaccines, not polio or tetanus, though, which Rudman says will stay required. It'll also widen religious and personal belief exemptions for the four vaccines. The Department of Health has opened a 21-day public comment period before deciding whether to finalize that rule. A Mississippi woman is dead after being found in her car in I-10 in Okaloosa County. The Florida Highway Patrol says road rangers were checking on what looked like a disabled vehicle near mile marker 55 on Sunday morning when they found the 73-year-old Moss Point woman deceased in the driver's seat. Crestview Fire Department arrived within minutes and pronounced her dead. The Florida Highway Patrol Bureau of Criminal Investigations and Intelligence is investigating, but says the death does not appear to be criminal in nature. No further details have been released. A fight is growing in Tiger Point area over a proposed Verizon cell tower behind the Walmart. Neighbors say building it in a stormwater retention area could push floodwater into their homes. The PNJ reports that the county zoning board has already voted it down, but the county commission is making the final call next week. Well, looks like it's going to be another nice day with a chance of showers. Let's check that forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies with a high near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 91. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Heading into Thursday, 70% chance of those showers and thunderstorms with a high near 89. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check it with PJ for traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Florida West Economic Development Alliance, working to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base. I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. Avalon is clear through the Garson Point Bridge. And 3 Mile Bridge, not showing any delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. Well, our temperature rise with a sunrise in progress is 75 degrees in Pensacola. It's 76 right now in Gulf Breeze and 73 at Milton at 635. Next news is at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump says the U.S. will impose 50% tariffs on automobiles and parts from Canada starting in January. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney.
This fall, we will begin intense discussions with the European Union, the world's second largest economy, to build a much stronger and deeper economic and security partnership.
U.S. tariffs on Canadian automobiles now stand at 25%. Target is apologizing for a Halloween circus clown costume that critics say resembled blackface. The retailer said the costume, called the Kids Glow Under Black Light Circus Halloween costume, has been pulled from store shelves. Oil prices have dropped by more than 2%, with investors awaiting the impact of the latest U.S. sanctions against Iran. West Texas Intermediate up to $82 a barrel, Brent at $89. Futures have risen this morning ahead of NVIDIA earnings. Both Dow and NASDAQ futures up by more than 200 points. That's Your Money Now.
Are you an adult with uncontrolled moderate to severe Crohn's disease symptoms and still packing a backup bag of clothes just in case? Skyrizi Risankizumab Riza can help you take control of your Crohn's. Feel significant symptom relief, including less abdominal pain and fewer bowel movements at 4 weeks. Plus, Skyrizi is proven to help people achieve remission and visibly improve damage of the intestinal lining. Individual results may vary. Skyrizi is a prescription injection medicine. Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines. Liver problems leading to hospitalization may occur when treated for Crohn's. Ready to take control of your Crohn's? Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one prescribed biologic in Crohn's disease. Control is everything to me. Learn more at SkyRizzy.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZY.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
I move mountains for a living. Literally. That means I don't carry hand lotion, and when it comes to serious heartburn, I don't mess around with anything but Rolaids Max Strength. Its dual-active formula has 1,500 milligrams of calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide that relieves heartburn fast. And the best part? The roll fits right here in my pocket, so I can get back to moving mountains.
Rolaids spells powerful relief. 1,500 milligrams is our highest amount of antacid per tablet. Read each label. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
People are strange when you're a stranger.
Man, you look like a lady.
That ain't no woman. It's a man, man.
Well, I'm not dumb, but I can't understand why she walk like a woman and talk like a man.
A lot of people say, what's that? It's Pat.
And when she got undressed, it was a big old mess. Sheena was a man.
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies.
Don't you oppress me.
Why do you say you feel trapped in a man's body?
Well, sometimes I get the menstrual cramps real hard.
MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+.
Ha! That's it! Hold it right there! Pronoun trouble.
So, I remember it was right around my birthday in May. I was watching the WNBA game because I'm actually a huge fan of the game. And I remember one of the players, her name is Gabby Williams, and she went after the game, I think, and she was doing an interview, and she literally said, I welcome a trans athlete on my team any day, and it would not be a problem if I ever play against a trans athlete. So I was like, okay then. If all the coaches, if all the players and all the, you know, the league itself are is cheering for it. So then I'm like, you know what? That gave me the brightest idea. I looked at the collective bargaining and I was like, there is no rule against it. Section 13 literally said, if you identify as a woman, you're allowed to play, you know? And I was like, let's do it.
Let's do it. That's Anas Kanter Freedom. I'm going to say his name wrong a bunch because I think everybody says it wrong. And I was listening to Laura Trump interview him on Fox News, and she says it a certain way, and it's hard to get right because it's a Turkish pronunciation because he's Turkish, American, former NBA player for 11 seasons, a very effective player. And he's now at the center of the controversy around trans players, trans women playing, you know, biological men identifying as females. I know it's hard to keep track of what all these terms mean, but here we are. It's 2026. Woohoo! But he has been at the center of the question of whether trans women, men playing as women, can play in the WNBA. And he and another is a politician has also been involved in this, and they've said, we'd like to declare eligibility for the WNBA. And he actually the other day showed up at a game, and he was standing there wearing a T-shirt that said, woman, noun, adult, human, female. He said that he would identify as a woman in order to enter the draft and play in the WNBA. And he actually got into a squabble with one of the players and got ejected from the stadium over this. You now have, in the day or two since, according to sources, but sort of like unofficially, I guess, the WNBA have said that he and this other man are not eligible to play as women in the NBA. But the problem is the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, does not prohibit it. It just says if you identify, there's no testosterone testing, there's no means, there's no, you know, DNA, XXXY, any of that kind of stuff. I mean, there's just nothing to prohibit somebody who says they're a woman from playing in the Women National Basketball Association, right? It's in, and there's been a lot of comments about this, and there's been Sophie Cunningham and Caitlin Clark and a lot of things in the backdrop to why the WNBA and NBA is now suddenly a news story. It hasn't been much of a news story for the athleticism of the athletes, although they really do play great basketball. But, you know, it's just not the kind of basketball that you might be used to watching the men play either in the NBA or in the college level or whatever. But as far as, you know, women, they are playing a very, very good game of basketball. Okay, so back to Anas Kanter, or Anas, I always want to say it wrong. I think it's Ines is how you say it. Ines Cantor Freedom. His birth name is funny. Ines Cantor, but he loves America. He changed his name legally to have freedom in it and changed it on the back of his jersey because he loves America so much. Again, having come from Turkey. But okay, so what's the difference in the WNBA?
So I played basketball in the NBA for 11 years. I mean, I averaged a double-double, and it was an amazing time. You know, I had so much fun with my teammates. So I love the game, and I am ready to play. I'm prepared to play. So I know I'm 34 years old, and I think I will be the best draft pick in WNBA history, literally.
He would dominate the sport, of course, because he's big and tall and skilled and a man. And, you know, the basketball they play with is smaller. Some of the dimensions are smaller. Right? It's, you know, the hoop is 10 feet for both, so that's not a difference. But he can dunk in the WNBA. They can't dunk, right? So he says, I would be a difference maker in the league.
Well, there's other major sports that obviously close that loophole. You know, they added, like, a biological, you know, female or born female in their collective bargaining. But when I looked at them at WNBA, they didn't have any kind of, you know, reference that says biological or anything like that. So I was like, and they, all the coaches, I was watching this game, and I believe the coach of the Minnesota, right, came out with a trans kids belong. So I was like, if there's no legit.
If you couldn't, trans kids belong is what he said.
So I was like, if there's no rule against this, if all the coaches are okay with it, think about how much money I can bring. Think about all the endorsement deals.
You know, he's not going to make much as a player compared to what he made in the NBA, but, you know, he can bring money to and attention to and all of that. And he's basically forcing the WNBA to take a position, have a policy, do some kind of testing, to be in or out when it comes to trans players, which at the moment, as my understanding, there are no trans players in the WNBA. There are not that many globally. There's one French player that I read about who does pretty well against, like, the second level tier team in league in France, but there's nobody in America. And of course, they're obviously wanting to make a political point about this, but the WNBA is not equipped to respond, and they're not handling this very well. Come back to this in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Anderson Subaru. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now. If you're in US 98, east and westbound through Navarre, that's looking good as well. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So back to Ines Cantor Freedom talking with Laura Trump the other day about this issue of trans athletes in the WNBA.
You are no stranger to standing up and speaking up whenever you feel like your beliefs are challenged. You have called out human rights atrocities for many years. You've been a voice for the voiceless in Turkey, in China, in Russia, Iran, North Korea, Venezuela, the Middle East. You know, most people in your position would stay away from anything controversial, but you have actually leaned into it, which is interesting.
Well, I feel like God gave me this huge platform, and I'm trying to use this platform to be the voice of all those innocent people out there who don't have a voice. I mean, that was my goal. So this is literally God's work.
There actually has been a very high cost to you for this. I mean, yeah. You have been kind of cut off from your family, right? You have faced arrest warrants, death threats. You have probably given up millions of dollars for directly going after the NBA. Do you look back at all of these things and say it's worth it?
Well, freedom is not free, and it comes with a sacrifice. I mean, I haven't seen my family almost 14 years now. And because of, I wanted to stand up for all the, you know, human rights abuse happening in China. I mean, they kicked me out of the league when I was 29 years old, and that cost me around $45 to $50 million.
Now, there's some disagreement about this, whether he was kicked out of the NBA over his criticism of China or not. Remember, there was a lot of talk about, you know, the China policy for the NBA, and the NBA cave into China. And, you know, there was an issue where, you know, the league commissioner had said that he's fully allowed to criticize them. He says that it was one of those sort of didn't fire me, just put me on waivers after trading me to a team that didn't want me, you know. Was that related to his China criticism or not? It's not clear, but he has definitely been a very active social critic on a lot of things. He's won all kinds of humanitarian awards over the years. And yeah, it's probably cost him a lot of money and, you know, certainly power, position, privilege, whatever, to take the position that he has. But he says, look, I do this because of my faith.
Are you prepared for what may happen based on the fact that now you have gone after the WNBA? Because I'm sure there's probably people coming for you now, too.
I mean, I only fear God and God only. Everyone bleed like me. So I know this is God's work, and I'm not going to give up. And I have no regrets, you know, because whenever I sit down with all these families,
they have a chance to talk about this, and he has a chance to do these camps. And I'll play it in just a second. But as a side note, worth knowing. So his background, he's Turkish. What's his religion? He keeps talking about God, and this is God's given him this platform, and he's doing God's will, and that's why he's willing to stand up to, you know, even the backlash and opposition that he gets for various things like criticizing China. His religion as a Turkish nationality originally, though he's become an American citizen, he's Muslim. Now, I mention that because I think, you know, we tend to read into things what we want them to be, and so if you're a conservative Christian, you might read him saying God's work and all this stuff and think, oh, he's a Christian. No, he's a Muslim. Oh, well, I'll tell you this from my teaching days. The experience that I had teaching was I used to teach at one of my favorite places to teach was St. Louis University. It's a Catholic, it's a Jesuit university. I taught a lot of schools as an adjunct with a master's degree and teaching philosophy. And what I would get over and over and over again, especially at SLU, at St. Louis University, is the, I talk about my faith and all of this, and the Catholic students would all be like, why aren't you a Catholic? You sound like a Catholic. And I'm a very pro-Catholic evangelical. And the Muslim students would be like, why aren't you a Muslim? You sound like a Muslim. And except for the Jesus Christ part, obviously. But as far as like social principles and ethics and morality, conservative Jews, conservative Christians, conservative Muslims are all almost identical. And I know if your perception of Islam is, you know, Wahhabism or, you know, Afghanistan and the mandatory wearing of hijabs or of burqas and prohibiting women from driving and getting an education. And okay, that's a slice of Islam. Sure, no doubt. But the vast majority of Muslims, and certainly the vast majority of Muslims who live in this country, do not embrace that kind of Islam. Their Islam, though I do agree, it's wrong. It does not embrace Jesus Christ as the Savior. But the social ethics portion of their views are very, very similar. And so one of the things that I think conservative Christians particularly make a mistake about is not aligning with conservative Muslims and conservative Jews when it comes to social policy and when it comes to politics, because they are aligned with us. Now, liberal Jews, no. Liberal Catholics? No. There aren't really liberal Muslims. Not really. They'd be more like non-practicing but identify as Muslims. But it's just something worth mentioning that there's an awful lot of overlap between, you know, Islam, Christian, I mean, the shared reference to certain books, right? Not all the books, but obviously some. And, you know, they believe in the Quran. We do not. But okay, fine. My point is that when you listen to him talk, you're like, oh, yeah, go God. And then you might be like, oh, no, Muslim. But it's I mean, it's not okay, but it is okay, right? Anyway, back to his comments with Lara Trump.
I just had a basketball camp in New York, and I remember all the families were coming up to me and saying, thank you. We would like to thank you for what you're doing for our daughter, you know? We are having these basketball camps, and after the basketball camps, we are all sitting down on the basketball court, and we're talking about why freedom is so important and so fragile, why we should care about our rights in America, why we should care about democracy. And it's been amazing because now all these kids obviously asking me questions about so many things, because unfortunately, many of them is being brainwashed by many apps out there, like a TikTok or many other apps out there. But I think once we sit down and have these conversations, they appreciate America more.
I mean, sounds like a tremendous advocate for this country, for our values, for our freedom, for our Constitution, which he absolutely is. I mean, he literally changed his name to represent what he loves about America, the freedom. It's now his last name. It's kind of an amazing thing. I've often said, and I hope you agree with me about this, immigrants often remind us of the things that we forget are so amazing about this country. Immigrants are one of the greatest sources of American patriotism. You know, go talk to somebody who gets naturalized. It'll change your life. And, you know, it's very easy when you, I don't know, grow up rich in the gated community that is the United States to kind of take it for granted and be a spoiled rich kid and not realize how meaningful it is to have all of the wealth of not just physical wealth, but, you know, ideology and politics and freedom that we have in this country. If you've grown up with it all the time, you know, go a few other places and see. And he even talked about that, like, his teammates would run down this country and he would have to say, hey, bro, maybe you need to learn more about the world.
They appreciate this country more, just like my teammates. I remember one time I walked in into the locker room and all my teammates were criticizing America. They were saying, oh my God, America is so trash. America is horrible. I walk in the locker room, I'm like, guys, our season is about to be over. Whenever our season over, I'm going to buy you a first class ticket. Let's go to some of these countries out there like China, like Russia, like Iran, like Turkey, like North Korea. Forget about calling those governments a trash. You criticize those governments, you and your family members will be jailed to death. So people have no idea how blessed we are in this country.
Oh, it's so true. And it is so easy to run down the thing that you take for granted because you've never experienced the alternative. So I didn't know this man before. I'm not an NBA follower, so his name was really not familiar to me. I still couldn't tell you anything about his play. I've just read a little bit about, you know, he was a pretty good player. Not a superstar, is my understanding, but, you know, a good player. And, you know, I love what he's doing right now. And I was just more admiring the quality of thought. I'm always impressed by people for whom English is a second language, and their ability to express themselves deeply, clearly, philosophically in a second language is always amazing to me. But that's what's going on in the background. He's not just some polarizing figure pulling a stunt like some, you know, YouTuber. He's actually got some thinking behind the stuff that he's saying, and I love it. 6:54 here on News Radio 92.3. If you have any kind of home improvement project you need to work on, you need to fix something, or you just need supplies, Pensacola Hardware, that's your place. For 175 years, they have been helping people build and rebuild things here in Pensacola since before the Civil War, since before there was Levi's Jeans, since 1851, the oldest business in Florida, one of the 50 oldest in the entire country. The Coes do a fantastic job of carrying on that legacy. If you're a builder or a contractor, they are your commercial construction supply business. The warehouse is right here. They can do special orders for you if you need them. They speak your language. They will understand what you need. They can have stuff shipped to the job site. Do all the things you need to make your time efficient so that you can get back to doing what you need to do. But if you're just like me and you need advice or supplies, go there and they'll help with you. Anything you need. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, Pensacola Hardware. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 continue to look good. 9 miles accident-free. Not showing any delays in Car City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thinking about buying or selling your home? Don't miss the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 as Wayne Peacock with the Peacock Group is the expert. Get expert advice on today's housing market, home values, financing trends, and what buyers and sellers need to know right now. It's local insight you can trust today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Wayne Peacock and the Peacock Group.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Right now, somewhere close, your dream house is sitting there. Maybe it's got the perfect porch, a backyard made for barbecues, a kitchen built for big family meals, and it's just waiting for you to call it home. At Penair Credit Union, we make it easy to get there with great rates, flexible loans, and local lenders who know the market. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing, we're here to help. So what are you waiting for? Learn more at penair.org/homeloans. Equal housing lender.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, Mass Confusion takes the stage with classic rock, Motown, smooth jazz, funk, country, and oldies all in their own style. Come out and take a spin on the dance floor at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. This week, don't miss the Gulfside Market.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What's the best way to go about disarming one of these things?
The way you don't die, sir.
Good Morning 658 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Somebody texted in. I've been to 69 countries. The best part is landing back in the USA. No, I would totally agree with that. I was trying to think. I didn't do a count, but I would say I've been to about a dozen total. I'm not quite sure. So how many has he been to? I don't, you know, he said he's been to a lot.
69, dudes!
Sorry. I'm 12 inside. Give me a break. Steve is in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Well, the White House is spelling out what it's calling the try that again.
Well, did you mouth fart us?
Yes. The White House is spelling out what it's calling an economic D-Day for Iran. You see, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says the new sanctions amount to an economic onslaught against Iran to further isolate it from the rest of the world. Speaking from the Treasury Department yesterday, Bessent says the operation is called Economic Outcast is going to cut off Iran from exporting oil and from other trade.
You know, you're a newsman, Steve. You can confirm this for me.
Okay.
The thing that I remember about D-Day is when we launched that invasion, the president spent, just like now, several weeks warning the enemy about it, right?
Right. Of course they did. Right, and chickens have lips.
It's 100%. That's the thing I was thinking about this yesterday. I'm like, D-Day was a total surprise.
Yes, it was.
So how is this economic D-Day? It's the most unsurprising thing ever.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 92.3. WNI.